Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. It's awesome to be here together, joining us from all of our different locations across the Dayton area and online. We got Beaver Creek, we got Springboro, we got Northmont, and right here at Centerville Classics as well. And if you're joining us online, welcome. We're a one church, many locations, and I'm so excited to be here today. As the host introduced me, I'm Levi, I'm the Beaver Creek campus pastor, and it is awesome to be in a series talking about and being able to wrap up a series talking about love, because this is one of the most important things for the church. It is one of the most awesome things that we experience with God, and therefore we go and we love others because of that. And so I'm just honored and privileged to be here. And I just want to take a moment, as we've done on at all of our locations, we've honored those who, those families that have been a part of adoption and fostering. And I just want to say to each of you, you know, adoption and fostering has been a huge part of my story and my family. I got to see those things firsthand. It is an awesome, complex, oftentimes difficult thing. And I just wanna say, we're with you. What an awesome thing for us to take a moment and say to each of these families, each of you, we're here. We're with you. We're walking with you alongside of all the difficulties that come with that and all the awesomeness that we get to see from that, because as we're talking today about love and how love is active, how love does some things, it's not just words that we say. You guys are living that out. And so thank you for being an example to our church of what love looks like. You guys are awesome. I just want to say that. It's a cool thing. Guys, we're talking about love and we are ending this series today, and it has been an awesome time to dig into 1 Corinthians 13. So if you have your Bibles, pull them out and get there, because we're going to read through it together. We're going to dig into the last four things, the last verse, verse 7 today, that talks about what love does. We've been talking a lot about how there's a heart condition and how we are posturing ourselves, how we think about love, and how Paul ends this passage of scripture talking about love. He says that love never fails. That's active. Love never fails the object that it is after. And so we're going to talk about the four things that we do, that we can do, that backs up the words that we say. And so turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read from verse 2 all the way through verse 7. And we're going to dig into this scripture today. Let's read God's word and allow it to shape not just our conversation this morning, but hopefully conversations you have with your small groups, conversations you have over lunch maybe later. Let the word of God shape who we are. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 2. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, if I have all this stuff, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Then verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And the beginning part of verse 8 says, and love never fails. Let's pray and ask God to just shape our conversation today. Lord, you are awesome. Your word, which is a lamp into our feet, a light into our path. It tells us how we ought to live. And so directly here, God, you tell us how to love. So Lord, I pray as we take these words that were written to a church in Corinth, teach us how to apply them to our lives. Many of the same circumstances that they face, we face. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand how to love each other well and why this is so important, not to just speak the words, but follow them up with action. Help us understand what love does today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The final verse of this passage is talking about what love does. It's our focus for today. And as we wrap up the series, I think it's a very appropriate thing for us, as we've been talking a lot about what love is, that it is patient and kind. It doesn't do some things. It doesn't do this. It doesn't do that. What does love do? We need to understand what love does. And so we're gonna make some commitments today after we learn what love does to do a few things that will help us really put our actions where our words have been. And I hope this has been happening throughout your life and not just a turn right now, but we're gonna learn and make sure that we are loving well. If you wanna love well, you will do these things. You won't just say, I'm gonna do this. You follow it up with loving action. See, if I tell my wife, honey, I love you all the time, every day, it may be true, but it's not proven until I act upon it. I must do loving action for my wife to know that I love her. If I have a friend who I say, man, I love you, man, you're great, but I never show up for him, am I really a good friend that loves him? We must be those who follow up our words with action when it comes to love. We have to do it. Not when it's convenient, not just sometimes, not just when I feel like I love it or love somebody or I want to love somebody. But today we're gonna learn that love does four things always, always. So 1 Corinthians 13 verse 7, look at it one more time, dig into it. We're gonna unpack these four things. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The first one, bears all things, or as some translations say, always protects. Always protects is a great way to think about it. See, the word here, bears all things or protects, is about protecting as an unselfish servant. Somebody who is not just there to walk with somebody, but you're serving them along the way. What this really is talking about, literally, the bears or protects, is literally to cover, to ward off by covering. It's creating a space for somebody. And this is a really important thing for us to do because we need to accept each other, okay? We need to accept each other, allow us ourselves to exist in a space and to protect each other and to honor. I love this idea of to honor another. Love is sometimes, because it's so overused, we start putting all these different thoughts and things to it. We need to have the Bible describe to us what it looks like, and we've been doing that so much, but it helps me so much to think about how honoring somebody is loving them, to elevate them above myself. That is to honor them, to treat them as I would want to be treated. That's the golden rule, right? But honor has helped me in a lot of ways to think about what it means to love somebody even when it's difficult. What does it mean to honor somebody who has wronged me? What does it mean to honor somebody who is hard to love or somebody that's very different than me? The heart of this idea is to create safe places, safe spaces for each other. In any loving relationship, we need to create a safe place for the person that we are saying we love. We need to make a place for them to just be who they are, to be themselves, to be the person that God has made them to be. We need to walk through some heavy stuff together. And in order to walk through life's difficult moments, you have to know that the people you're walking with are gonna continue to be with you even when it's difficult. To cover, to create a safe place. That is the heart. I am a big fan of war movies. I watch them when my wife goes out with her friends because she doesn't like them as much, unless there's some sort of romance thing in there, which I don't like those ones anyway. So the ones that I really like are, they've got intense battle scenes, right? I mean, there's bullets flying everywhere, bombs exploding. You have no idea which way's left and which way's right. Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? These scenes are amazing. In those scenes, there always is somebody who takes a risk. They need to make a risky move to get out of a pinned down situation, or they need to move or they're gonna get trapped, right? And what do they always say right before they do something risky? They say, cover me. They say, cover me. They shout it and then they run into the midst of the battle. where everything's flying like crazy and they're putting themselves at risk. Look, whether you're putting yourself in a risky situation to do something that's loving towards somebody else, or you're in a really messed up situation where you might have done something wrong, you need people around you that you can trust and say, like a comrade in arms, cover me. Cover me. That's the heart behind this. In high school, I worked with a man named Stan Smith. He was an awesome guy. He still is an awesome guy. He's still alive. I hope he watches this because I'm going to call him and tell him I talked about him a little bit. But he is an amazing, amazing man who was the head of the camp that I worked at. He was the maintenance guy, right? And I was one of his maintenance men in high school. And he did a wonderful job of creating a space for me to be me and to challenge me, to call me into battle sometimes against things that were in my own life in a safe place where he was covering me. That's what love does. Love creates a space where you can ask questions, where you can say, this is just who I am. I'm wired this way. I'm not trying to, I don't really have all the answers. I need a safe place to be able to ask these questions, to become who God really wants me to be. We need to create these places. In high school, that was such an important time for me because I was asking all kinds of questions and messing up all kinds of ways where I needed somebody to just love me and protect me. You see, we need to become who God wants us to be. And in order to do that, we have to go through some things. We have to ask some hard questions. We have to look at our identity. And whenever we start putting our identity in things that we're putting together, things that other people are putting together for us, we're missing the point entirely. We will only be satisfied when we find our identity in Christ. And the best place for each of us to discover where that is within the context of a relationship in a community where you will not have to rise to somebody else's bar. If somebody's putting expectations on you to be a certain way, thinking that you need to be a certain way, and it's not lined up with who God says you should be, they're not loving you. We need to create a safe place for each other to do the rest of these things, to hope all things, to believe all things, to endure all things. We need to first start with a place where love does something. It creates a space for us to grow, for us to face challenges in the midst of the battle. Are we creating those spaces? For your family, for your friends, cover your relationships with words that show people who they really are. Create a safe place knowing that no matter what they say, you are going to be there with them, continuing, walking along. Protect them. Here's a question for you for some reflection that you could do on your own and maybe talk about with a friend later. Do you want to know if you're loving? Ask this. Do you create space for people to be themselves, to be who God made them to be, to work through the hard stuff that comes along with life? Because guys, we have so many things in our life where we're trying to live up to somebody else's expectation to us. God wants to transform you. He wants to transform you. He's doing that work. The Holy Spirit, through the power of God, through Christ resurrected, he's making you into a new person. Create space for each other within the church. This is the power of small groups, friends. Create a space in your small group to ask questions, to be who God made you to be. The first question I always ask when I get to this point is so what do I do with all the faults? Because I know I have a bunch of them. I know you probably got a bunch of them. If you don't think you have a bunch of them, you're lying. So what do we do with our faults? What do we do with those? The nice way of saying it is like our growth areas. I love that whenever you get to like, you're talking about that with, this is my growth area. No, it's a fault. Okay, let's just call it what it is. So this is what we do. I think it's really important that we lean into scripture to understand this because there is all kinds of ideas on how we should deal with faults in the world. We need to look at scripture for it. Here's what it says in 1 Peter. It's the same idea that he's talking about, that Paul talks about, Peter talks about. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, above all things, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We must cover each other. See, this is something that is very difficult in our human nature. This is a fault I think a lot of us have, if not all of us, that we forget that love conceals for another. Love conceals for another. If you want to know if somebody loves you, you can ask this question: will they keep a secret for me? Will they cover me? If I tell them something that's a little bit, I don't want people to know about, will they keep that secret? Or they go and tell 10 people? If there's something wrong with you, will that person tell you? You want to know if somebody loves you, will they tell you if you got something stuck in your teeth? Right? I mean, I want those people in my life because I don't want to look like, you know, if I got some salad stuck in there, I want my friend to love me and say, you got some salad stuck in your teeth, bro. You got to. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's a silly one, but it goes so much deeper than that. When you have something that really needs to be taken care of in your life, you gotta have friends that are willing to come around you and cover you, not blast it all over the place. Like, did you hear about Levi's problem over here? I need my friends to come to me and say, Levi, you got this. But they don't just say, look at this, let's poke it, Levi, let's poke all the things wrong. They go, we're gonna walk with you and we're gonna cover you. And we're gonna make sure that even though you've got this thing, I'm gonna help you through it. See, critique should always be combined with servanthood in the church. Critique, helping people get better, we should not just be saying, hey, get better at this, get better at this. We need to be arm in arm with those people, walking with them, saying, let's take these steps together. I know this is gonna be hard. You might not wanna hear this, but I'm with you. I'm with you. Let's journey through it together. If you do something wrong, will the person tell you? And will then they put in the work to build you up again? Likewise, will you do the same thing? Love requires us to be a covering for each other. If you have someone in your life that is a little messed up, just like me, cover them. I don't wanna linger on this too long, but what do we do with the people that we really don't like, that have really harmed us? And I don't wanna say this flippantly because there has been real harm done in many of our lives. I can think of a couple situations in my life where it's like that hurt. I'm struggling with this. How do I conceal for another? You know, I think there is such a thing as taking the high road. And our culture has completely forgotten that because we just blast everything everywhere and we drag people through the public square just going, look at all this, look at all their stuff. And not so in the church. If you're having a conversation about someone, they better be able to hear that conversation. Doug talked about that a lot last week. So I don't wanna linger on it too much, but I do wanna say, if you're talking about somebody's flaws to anyone but them, you're not honoring them. Even if the critique is warranted and you have proof that the person is messed up, to love them is to cover them. And so we need to look at Matthew 18. If you struggle with this, pull up Matthew 18, write it down, memorize it. There is a, Jesus gives us a play-by-play on what to do, all right? Matthew 18, verse 15 through 17 says this: if your brother sins against you, they do something wrong to you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen to you, this person, they don't get it. They're not seeing the stuff in their teeth, all right? Take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Look, you never stop loving the person. Never stop loving the person. There is no permission from Jesus to stop loving the person. But there is a process by which we must follow that is thoughtful and considers how we might protect each other. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Pretty simple idea, but hard to live out. So what does love do? Love creates safe spaces for each other to be ourselves, who God made us to be. Love honors each other in all circumstances, even when it's difficult. Love follows a critique with genuine servanthood. Love bears all things. The second thing, love believes all things. Some translations say always trusts, okay? Trust, which is, it never loses faith, it's patient. We've talked about that. Week one is all about love is patient and kind. It seeks to see the best in others. Now, it's like always eager to just believe the best about somebody else, that they have their best intentions, that everything that they're doing is trying to be for the good of others. And sometimes that's hard to see, but we're choosing to believe the best, which does not mean that love is gullible, okay? It doesn't mean that love is gullible, but love intentionally chooses to look at the beautiful things about another person. What do they bring that is meat? You know, you've heard the saying, take the meat and spit out the bones. That's true in every relationship. There is stuff about some of my relationships that just, man, it's just not good for me. But there are things that I can pull out that are helpful. So trust, we always trust. Trust, we've heard, is something that you earn. But trust is not something you earn. It's something that you offer, okay? Perfect analogy. Colin, will you come up here? Guys, give it up for Colin, he's awesome. He's helping me out making this point so we can understand what God's word is saying. So come over here, Colin, you're gonna be on this side of me. Colin and I kind of know each other, but not well. We've seen each other a little bit. I asked him, would you help me with something? And he said, yes. So we're gonna talk about trust for a second. And in a second, I'm gonna have an opportunity to offer him my trust. But if I was to say, Colin, you gotta earn my trust right now. He can't do anything to earn my trust right now. We just met, all right? And so we don't have time to earn trust, because no matter what, the first time I've gotta trust him, I have to take the step of offering him trust, right? If I say, catch me when I fall, which I'm about to do, all right? If you don't catch me, you gotta preach the rest of the sermon. So notes are over there. If he does, I have to offer him the trust, all right? So I'm gonna go like this. All right, perfect, yeah, arms out like that. You're good, I'm gonna just close my eyes because I can't, I really hope you catch me. All right, see, thank you. Let's give it up to Colin. Colin, you're the man. See, I have to offer trust. I have to be willing to take my weight off of myself and put it on somebody else. And no one can earn that unless you give them the opportunity. We must offer trust to each other. So my question for you, do you wanna know if you're loving, or if you're in loving relationships, do you take the step of trust first? Do you offer it freely to another? And whenever it is offered to you, do you show up? Do you catch them when they fall? Love does some things. Love seeks the best in others. It wants to bring out the best in each other. It offers trust freely. Love believes all things. The third one, love hopes all things, or always hopes. This is the next step within our places that we're creating that are safe for people to become who Jesus and God want them to be, finding their identity in him. When they offer trust to you freely, we also need to give room for each other to grow. See, hoping all things means that we need to give each other room to grow. The people we need to be in the church are people that give each other a second and third and fourth chance. We need to be people that are known for giving second chances. Like, I'm gonna give chance after chance after chance. How many chances should you get or give? Jesus actually talks about this in Matthew 18 as well in verse 21. It says that Peter came up to him and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Exactly what we're talking about. As many as seven times. He even says, seven times seems like a lot, Jesus. Seven times seems like a lot. And Jesus said to him in verse 22, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. 70 times seven. The idea is over and abundantly more than you could think. Over and abundantly more than you could imagine. Forgive. Give room to grow. What does this mean for us? Does the way you interact with others bring out the best in them? We need to be about bringing out the best in each other. That if somebody is wronging us, that we forgive them and forgive them in order to help them at the same time bring out the best. They might be working on it. We want to see them working on it, but we need to continue to give them chances. Be thinking about that. Does the way you interact with others bring out the best in them? So what does love do? Love creates safe places for each other to be ourselves as God intended us to be. Love seeks out the best in others, and love gives room to grow. Those are the things love does. And then finally, the fourth one, love endures all things or always perseveres. Perseverance is all about forgiveness. And we've talked about forgiveness quite a bit in this series. You can go back to week six. I think it'd be a really awesome thing to review week six of this series where David talked about forgiveness. But endures all things means we persevere and we forgive and continue together in the midst of hardship. When something goes wrong, you forgive freely. My daughter goes to a school in Beaver Creek, and my son does as well. And they have this awesome thing that they do where a teacher can write a note for a kid. It's a little card that says, it's a kindness card. It's a kindness confetti card. I like that they make it into a party, right? And so they fill this out and they can say, I saw you doing something kind. And then they have in the lobby, they've got this thing that they fill up. And so kids can go and celebrate the fact that they're doing kind things for each other. And it's an awesome thing. I think when they fill it up, they get like a 5-minute dance party at the end of a day or something. It's really awesome. And I was thinking about that and how in a school, they're talking about, hey, let's be kind to one another all the time. And in the church, I think we need to take that same stance when it comes to forgiveness. Like, we need to forgive each other all the time. Like, we need to be throwing forgiveness around like confetti. When people come in, they're like, they're throwing a forgiveness party over there, right? Like, that's what the church is supposed to feel like. Like, I can't believe they forgave me for all this stuff. That's what it's supposed to be like in the church. Review week six of this series. Don't keep a record of the failures of others. Work hard to forgive. Work hard to forgive. There's a question I want us to consider, and I'm trying to consider in my own life. I think it's important for us to be thinking of how we're forgiving, and it's often hard to do that because whenever you're thinking about forgiveness, you're thinking about somebody who's wronged you, and it's so easy to focus on that, and it's hard to realize that if I'm just so focused on keeping that record of wrongs that I'm putting myself in a prison that I'm not escaping from. And I'm not putting them in a prison, I'm putting me in a prison when I don't forgive. But here's the question that I think we need to be asking ourselves if we wanna know if we're loving well. How long does it take you, how long does it take me to forgive? Now, the goal here isn't to say, well, like 7 days or 7 years. Guys, it's not about how much time, because there's not a right answer for this, I don't believe. I do believe that forgiveness is required of believers for each other. But each issue is personal, it's difficult. I mean, there's probably people in your life that have really hurt you. I think if you look at the five closest people to you, all five of them have deep hurt. We need to be quick to forgive and full in our forgiveness. It's required. So what does love do? Love creates safe spaces for each other to be ourselves, who God made us to be. Love seeks the best in each other. Love gives each other room to grow, and love forgives and continues together in the midst of hardship. There's one thing that sticks out in all four of these things. It says all things. Some translations say always. See, the truth is doing these four things always is impossible. It's impossible. Unless you've truly experienced this love through Jesus Christ. He's already offered this for you. You see, we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19 says that. We can love because of his love. You can't give love to somebody else that you haven't received first from God. Not this kind of love, not this real love. When you realize that this is what God has already done for you, it begins to be possible that God, Jesus, he already creates a safe place for you to be yourself. Come as you are. Come as you are to the cross. He will change you. But you don't have to change before you get there. He says, bring the stuff. It's safe here. God made you to be someone, but he created a safe place for you to figure out who that is. God already seeks the best in you. He wants to bring you to your fullest potential. And sometimes that's through difficulty. And sometimes that's through trial. Sometimes that's through him chastening us. That's a big word. Look it up. All right. God gives us room to grow. Do you know his grace and his mercy are new for us today? I wake up every morning and I'm just amazed. Like, God, your grace is brand new today. Like, it's already covering all the stuff that I'm gonna get wrong. It's already covering all the stuff that I'm working on. And God, thank you for your great mercy and grace. God has already forgiven you. And he continues with you in the midst of hardship. Like, he's never leaving you or forsaking you. I mean, this is all over scripture. That God has promised us and already given us all these things. And it's impossible for us to love other people unless we experience the love that God already has for us. And so it is possible, but only through Jesus. And it's impossible to love in this way without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look up Romans 5:5 later. But also in 1 John 4, it says this, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. It's his spirit within us that helps us to actually carry this out. We're not asking you to do an impossible thing. He's not asking us to do something we can't do. He's saying, I'm going with you. I'm gonna carry you through this. I'm gonna empower you to love in a way that you aren't capable of loving. That's what God promises. So you see, church, love, though it's an overused word in our culture, in our world, with an underlived value. In the church, it is not so. Because God has given us his spirit and has made love, as David said in the very first sermon of this series, he said, love is the sine qua non of the authentic follower of Jesus, without which not is the Latin of sine qua non. Meaning that without love, I am nothing. Without love, we are nothing. Love is the thing that is absolutely necessary for the Christian, for everyone who follows Jesus. It's necessary. And it's not up to us. It's us surrendering to God and he will love people through us. I can't explain that. I don't know how it works. I just know that as I've surrendered to God, he has increased my love for others. And he's increased these things in my life so that I can see the things I need to change and fix. There's too much at stake for us, friends. John 13:35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's not that we have all the right stuff. It's that we love one another. It's that we pick each other up whenever we fall. It's that we cover each other and we protect each other and we love each other no matter what we're going through. We're willing to point out the things that we need to fix and we hear each other and we accept each other as we are in a safe place, journeying together, knowing that God is giving us the power to love each other even when it's the most difficult. So what are we going to do? We gotta commit to love just as God loved us. We have to commit to surrender to God and let his spirit work in our hearts so that we become more loving, that we become like the love that we have experienced. Let's commit to do that today. Would you bow with me? God, you're awesome. Your word helps us to understand this life. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us today to love like you love us. God, I'm thankful for the hope that you offer us, that it's not just a love that we've got to do by our own power, but that your power will flow through us so that your spirit will love through us, that we can create space, that we can help people become who you've wanted them to be, that we can allow each other the grace that you have offered to us. Lord, help us to do that. Oh, that's so difficult. But God, by the power of your spirit, you can do that. Work in us, make us more like you. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And church said, amen.